Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Richmond, Virginia, where we're broadcasting live this morning on our radio show, What Does the Word Say?, a production of DMC Ministries. We want to thank you for joining us today. We've been on a kind of a two-month hiatus due to some illness that I've been going through. But glory to God, we're back in the saddle. We're ready to rock and roll, and we hope that you're going to enjoy our broadcast today. We're going to continue in the book of John, but I want to take just a few minutes to thank you again for your faithfulness, and we appreciate your prayers and support as we were going through this very difficult time. And things are looking better. We're making progress, and we're just thankful to God that He has never left us nor forsaken us, and that He promised that He would guide us and protect us, and He has been faithful and just to His word. So glory be to God. Welcome to What Does the Word Say? I want to pray, and then we'll get started. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity again to gather in your presence. We thank you, Lord, for your word of God, which is our meal. It's our food. It's our substance. It's what we live by. It's what we live for. And we thank you, Father, that your word is real. Your word is true, and your word never fails. It never, ever, ever fails. It always goes out and accomplishes what it is meant to accomplish, and does not return unto you void. So, Father, we just want to thank you this morning. We want to continue in the book of John and glean and learn from what you have for us. And, Father, we just want to give you the honor, the glory, and the praise at every juncture. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it has been some time since we gathered together here to break this bread of the Word of God. So I want to go to John chapter 17. I think we pretty well got through all of that, but I just want to make sure we're going to do a quick review of John chapter 17 and then move on from there. In John chapter 17, and I'm reading out of the New King James Version, this is where Jesus was preparing to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. He was getting ready to be crucified. So he goes and he does three prayers here, and they're very, very important. So I want to make sure that we understand these. In John chapter 17, verse 1 says, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, and that your Son may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work that you for which you have sent me or given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. So here we see that he's talking to his dad, and he says, look, he says, you know, every person, this is very important, every person that God had given him to be in charge of, he had taken care of, and none of them were lost, of course, except for Judas, who was lost to fulfill prophecy. Excuse me. So we see here that Jesus is thanking his Father for the assignment that he's been given, for the people that he's been given, and that all of those people have been taken care of throughout his time here on earth. But now the time has come for him to go back to heaven, because we know that he was in heaven before, and that he was in his glorified state, and he was getting ready to return to that state. And we are thankful for that, because without that, then none of us would have truly the opportunity to be saved. We would not have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven, because the price would not have been paid. The wages of sin, according to the Bible, is death, but the gift of God is life eternal. And so this is a gift that God has given us, and we need to make sure that we take advantage of it. In verse 6, he says, I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Folks, that is a very, very important statement right there. If you have been given the gift of God, if you have been given the gift of eternal life, then you need to make sure that you maintain and keep his word. You need to serve God the way he has served you. And he served you first before you could ever serve him. And the gift of God, again, is eternal life. That means that you're going to live, rule, and reign in heaven forever. And so we want to make sure that we have that perspective straight, so that we don't run into any problems down the road, because there's going to be a lot of deception. There's going to be a lot of lies that are presented. There's a lot of that stuff going on already. But we have to be prepared for whatever comes our way. He says then in verse 2, he says, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. This is verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, for I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Now, you know, this is another very important point here. The Bible says, if you believe, you will see the glory of God. Well, the glory of God is the presence of God. So there's no place that you can go that you can't see the presence of God. I mean, the world is his, and the creation thereof. So everything in this world represents the power of God, represents the presence of God. So these people that say, well, Lord, I was somewhere else, and now I'm coming into your presence. Well, I want to know where they were at, because you can't go anywhere. He says, where are you going to go that I'm not there? Heaven, hell, high place, low place. You can't go anywhere that God is not already there. And so it makes sense for us to acknowledge the fact that God is omniscient, omnipresent, that he's there everywhere that we're going, and therefore we can develop a relationship where we're constantly communing with him, and we can do like 1 Thessalonians 5 says, we can meditate on the word, we can pray without ceasing, and we make our lives a lot more productive and a lot more powerful. So I just want to encourage you today to pay attention to that, and remember that you have been given to God, and then God gave you to Jesus, and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to witness of his presence to convict you of your sin, so that you could get saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God, and that you would know what the truth is, the truth of his hope, the truth of his calling, the truth of his joy, peace, and happiness. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to verse 8. He says, I pray for them, and I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours, mine, and all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name these whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now that's very important. I want you to make sure you pay attention to that. He's not praying for the rest of the world, because the rest of the world is lost. But there are those, and so here begs a question. You know, should you go out here and pray for everybody? Well, you know, I'm gonna ask you to depend on the Holy Spirit when it comes to that answer to that question. And you do what he tells you. If he tells you to pray for somebody, then you pray for somebody. I had a friend of mine from Charlottesville call yesterday and said that there was a gentleman in the hospital over Henrico Doctors. And she wanted to know if Linda and I could go over and pray for him. Well, physically, I'm still using a walker to get around, so it's been kind of hard to do. But I had a friend of mine who's a pastor. And so I called him up and asked him if he could go over there. And, of course, he did. He went over there and he prayed for the man, and everything seems to be doing okay. But that's what we're talking about. You know, we have to be available to do what God has called us to do because we are his. We're not our own. We're his. We're children of God. If you go back to John chapter 1, verse 10, it says Jesus came back for his own, but they rejected him. But for those who believed, he gave them the right to become sons of God, not sons of a human decision, a husband's will, or of natural descent, but sons of God. And so God doesn't have any grandchildren. We are all our joint heirs with Jesus. We're on the same level as Jesus, and we need to develop our relationship accordingly. And so he wants us to glorify him in this earth the same way that you know he has glorified his son Jesus, and that's extremely important. We have to make sure that we are aware of that, and we remember that. Look, this is not about us. This is all about him. Hallelujah. And so in doing that, it makes a huge difference in your attitude. It makes a huge difference in your perspective. And so if your perspective lines up with the Word of God and you see things the way God sees them, then things are going to go very much different in your life. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let's go to verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept. And none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that you may that they may have my glory, my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and glory be to God. Let's see, I lost my place here. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not in the world, just as I am not in the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they may also be sanctified by the truth. And so the word of God is true. I mean, that's what he's saying right here. And since Jesus was the word of God, then we know that he was the truth. And so we can depend on that. We have confidence in that. Excuse me. We have authority in that, and in order to maintain that authority, then we have to remember who we are in Christ, and we are his, and he is ours, and so we have authority, we have power, and we can operate on the face of this earth. Now, this last part of chapter 17 is the part where he prays for you and me, and so you can put your name right here. That's not a bad thing. You can do that. Because that's exactly what he's saying right here. He says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one as you, Father, are in me and I'm in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. Hallelujah. And so you have the opportunity to be and allow God to live in you and to shine out through you. In John chapter 1, he says Jesus was the light and the life unto men. Well, that light shines in the darkness, and the darkness doesn't understand it. Well, we're not talking about daylight and sunlight. We're talking about evil. So when you walk into a room, that place, something ought to change. You ought to change the atmosphere in every room that you walk into because of your faith and because of your belief. Hallelujah. And so Jesus is saying here, says, I'm not only praying for my disciples, but I'm praying for Dwayne. I'm praying for Linda. I'm praying for Pastor Godfrey. I'm praying for anybody that's going to come after that who is going to hear the word, understand what's said, and believe what they say. And when you do that, glory be to God, you have exponential power in the name of Jesus. Now, verse 22 says, and the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me, and they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you have loved me. And so we have the love of God. The love of God. Now, folks, the creator of the universe, the great I am, the beginning, the middle, and the end, there was none before him, there'll be none after him. The love that God had for his son, he also has for us. And so this was one of the most difficult concepts that I had to really understand in my Christian growth, was the fact that God really did love me. After all the things that I've done wrong, how in the world can he still love me? Well, he does, because that's what he is. He is love. And so he cares about us deeply, and we need to believe that. In verse 24, he says, Father, I desire that they also who you gave me may be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundations of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you loved me may be in them and I in them. Hallelujah. So, you know, when you're talking about the love of God, I mean, that's the perfect love. It has no sin, no evilness, no deceitfulness, no nothing. It's just absolutely perfect. And in that situation right there, that's the way we're supposed to be operating. When we do, then things go well. When we don't, things don't go so well. So we want to make sure that we are in our appropriate place, that we are doing exactly what God has called us to do. And when we are, then glory be to God, the potential is unlimited, absolutely unlimited. Look, if you want to call and join in on this conversation this morning, let me slip over here and give you the number. It's 347-857-1322. Or you can listen to us live on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/DMC2. And we'd love to have you partake in our conversation this morning. So praise God. All right. Let me just say this. In the weeks to come, we are going to finish up the book of John, and then we're going to move into the kingdom of God. And so I'm really excited about getting into that study. I think it's going to be an awesome time, and I believe that you're going to be blessed in that process. We're going to talk a lot about the kingdom of God, because that's what Jesus did. Jesus came here, and that's what he talked about. He said, like on the Sermon on the Mount, on the Mount, he said, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like, the kingdom of God is like. So we want to go through that and make sure that you understand what the kingdom of God is like, and that we're going to draw some parallels and some conclusions from that, and it should help you live a much more productive life. In the future, if you have a topic that you would like us to discuss, whatever it is, please don't hesitate to email us at dmc@dmcministries.net. Check out our website at www.dmcministries.net, or you can give me a call at 804-909-7339, and we'll be glad to pray for you, We'll be glad to try to help you meet your needs, and we'll definitely answer any questions that you may have. If we don't know the answer, we know exactly where to go to get it. Praise God. And I also want to invite you to attend our church. It's not my church. I go to church at Breakout Ministries International up in Ashland. The address is 112 England Street, Suite B, and it's right in the Bremack building. It's diagonally across from the Ashland Theater. Our service times on Sunday are at 10:30. We have a midweek service on Thursday that's at 7 o'clock and lasts for 1 hour, and that's where we pray and we get a little teaching from our pastor. My pastor, Pastor Ski, is absolutely awesome. I'm going to have him on this show here in a little while, a couple of weeks from now. He'll be with us, and we're going to be talking about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So those are some of the things that we just wanted to make you aware of, some of the things that are coming up. We're also doesn't look like we're going to get to go to Africa this year, but we're definitely going to plan to go next year. And then also a trip possibly to Pakistan. I've had the invite, but just haven't been able to go because of my health. But glory be to God, we're getting that squared away, and we're going to be up and running and doing what God wants us to do. If there's anything that we can do to help you as far as speaking to your group, your nonprofit organization, or your church, just give us a call, 804-909-7339. We'd be happy to do that. And I know coming up, I think it's Easter, we're going to be down in the state prison down in Greensville. Mike Vosburgh is the chaplain down there, and he's going to be having some services going on there, and I think we're going to be able to go down and participate with that. So lots of things happening. Don't forget about the Bible study that we have, the men's meeting on Monday, the first Monday of the month, over at the Agape Barbershop over in Southside Plaza here in Richmond. I don't remember what the address is, but you can look on the website. It'll be there, or you can check out our newsletter. It's in all of our newsletters. It's right there in Southside Plaza in the corner down there between the two wings of that building. And I'm telling you one thing, guys, if you show up down there, boy, you better have your seatbelt on, because we get down to it. We get rocking and rolling. But I have never in all of my years seen more powerful meeting of men than I have in that place. It is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal. So please avail yourself to that. Take advantage of that, and continue to pray for us. And we are excited about what God is doing. Hallelujah. All right, let's continue here in the book of John. And we're going to go now, let's see, find the right thing here. We're going to go to chapter 18 because we're getting close to the end here where Jesus is going to be crucified. And I know most of you have either heard or have read that account, that story. But we're gonna go through that again. Hallelujah. So let's go to, let me put this thing here correctly. John chapter 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. In chapter 18, this is his betrayal and arrest in Gethsemane. And we know that they've already had the Lord's Supper. And he's gone to the garden and he's prayed. So when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden in which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Hallelujah. So they knew exactly who they were looking for. You know, there was no doubt about that. And he said, "Are they?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus answered, "I have told you that I am He. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which He spoke, of those whom you gave me, I have lost none." Hallelujah. So he's going right back to chapter 17, which is where he prayed those very same words. Okay? Amen. All right, so then Simon Peter, having a sword, and drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Micus, M-A-I-C-H-U-S. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?" And, of course, Peter really didn't understand. He was trying to defend Christ. Peter was very zealous, a very good guy, but is a little misguided in some of his emotions. Hallelujah. And we see that throughout his book and throughout the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, Peter denies Jesus, and Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did the another disciple. Now that disciple, hallelujah. Let's see where that is. Disciple was known to the high priest, and went with Jesus into the country and the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. When the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her, who kept the door, and brought Peter in, then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" And he said, "I am not." Now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. And so then the high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus answered him, said, "I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in the synagogues and in the temples, where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. But do you ask me, are those who have heard me, what I said to them? Indeed, they know what I said." And when he had said these things, one of the officers who stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Do you answer the high priest like that?" And Jesus answered him and said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why did you strike me?" Then Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas, the high priest. Peter denies twice more. When Simon Peter stood and warmed himself, therefore they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." One of the of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Didn't I see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Hallelujah. So we see the fulfillment of what Jesus said. He says, "You know, before I go, you're going to deny me three times." Hallelujah. All right, in Pilate's court, in verse 28, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered and said to him, "If you were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up to you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." And therefore the Jews said to him, "If it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of Jews?" And Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you the king then?" And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." So in verse 39, "But you have a custom that I should release someone to you at the Passover. Do you therefore want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" And they all cried out, saying, "Not this man, but Barnabas," or Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. Hallelujah. And so we can see this thing is starting to reach a crescendo here, starting to get close to the end. And the people are really, really, really upset with Jesus, and they want him dead. Excuse me. Sinuses today. I'm telling you, glory be to God, I'm healed. In Jesus' name. All right, let's see what we got here going on. All right, so let's go on to chapter 19. And then we'll finish up the last two chapters, 20 and 21, probably next week. We'll get that done and start into the kingdom of God. All right, chapter 19, verse 1. "So then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe. And then they said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they struck him with their hands. Pilate then went out again and said to them, 'Behold, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him.'" Hallelujah. So, you know, we can see right there that even the judge, you know, was a righteous judge, but he was bound by the customs of the day, if you will. And these people were just hell bent on destroying Jesus' life because they were threatened. You know, the religious is always threatened by the truth. And the Bible says, if you know the truth will set you free. But a lot of times that word of God that is true, people reject it because they have their own agendas and they don't want to change what they think is right. They're stuck in tradition. They're stuck in customs. And that's probably why we have so many different types of religious bodies in this country today, is because everybody has their own agenda. And a lot of times church splits come when they have differences in doctrine like that. Somebody sees one thing in scripture and they want to operate on it one way when it really is not what the word is saying. And so then you have deception. And then it's a matter of how many people can I convince to be deceived with me. And those people that are convinced to be deceived with me usually are the ones that leave and go start something else. And so we end up with a diversity of churches. But, you know, the thing about Jesus is a unifier. He wants us to believe the word. The only thing that matters is what the words say. It really doesn't matter what you think. I mean, it really just doesn't matter. The most important thing is what does the word say? And the Bible says that we're to study to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed, of rightly dividing the word of truth. And so in the rightful division of that word, then we have to take into consideration that there are going to be others out there that do not necessarily agree with us and have different quote-unquote interpretations. I'm not sure that you can call those interpretations revelation, but nevertheless, they have their differing ways of looking at things. And so we have to know what the truth is. And so we go back to this here, and it says, verse 5, "Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, 'Behold the man.' Therefore, when the chief priests and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'
Pilate said to them, "You take him and crucify him, but I find no fault in him." The Jews answered and said, "We have a law, and according to our law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God." Well, actually, he didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. But because of their deception, you know, they crucified him. It's often said that if Satan had really known what he was doing, he would have never let this happen. Amen. Because he's about to wreak his own havoc on himself when he does this. All right, verse 8. "Therefore, when Pilate heard the saying, he was the more afraid and went again into the praetorium and said to Jesus, 'Where are you from?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said to him, 'Are you not speaking to me? Do you know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you?' And Jesus answered, 'You have no power. You could have no power at all against me unless it had not been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you has the greater sin.' From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you let this man go, you are not Caesar's friend. Whoever makes himself a king speaks against Caesar.'" Amen. Hallelujah. So they were adamant. They were thoroughly convinced that they were correct and they were going to go forward no matter what. When Pilate, therefore, heard that saying, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew it's Gabbatha. Now it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour, and he said to the Jews, "Behold your king." But they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." And Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered them to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. So, you know, the world looks at this as a bad thing. Christians see the benefit of this, because if it hadn't been for this selfless act, if you will, then we would not have our ability to be free. We would not have our ability to be free from sin. We would not have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and would forever be stuck in our current state. And so, you know, praise God. God had a plan. He executed it perfectly. The devil had no idea what he was doing because he was so focused on killing Jesus. And then Jesus, we know, died, went to hell, stole the keys to death and hell. And glory be to God, came back up, poured his blood out on the altar, and sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us on a daily basis. So praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. This is exciting stuff, and I hope that you take the time to read this yourself, not only in the New King James Version, but also read it in a couple of other different translations and just get kind of a flavor. The Amplified is good, and also the Message Bible, and get kind of a different flavor for exactly what's going on here. It's pretty phenomenal reading. Amen. But I hope it's more than reading. I hope you're actually getting it on the inside of you, because if you don't, then there's no point, you know, there's really no point in doing it. All right, let's go back to, let's see where we're at here. Okay, verse 17. It's chapter 19, I believe. Yep, chapter 19. So he says, "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him, one on either side and Jesus in the center. Now Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' Then many of the Jews read this title, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin.
Therefore, the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, each soldier apart, and also the tunic. Now the tunic was without a seam, woven from the top in one piece. And they said, therefore, among themselves, let us not tear it, but cast lots for it, those of whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which says, they divided my garments among them, and my clothing they cast lots. Therefore, the soldiers did these things. Hallelujah. Now, verse 25, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, some people say that's John, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, the disciples took her to his own home. Hallelujah. All righty, let's go to verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, I thirst. Now, a vessel full of sour wine was sitting there, and they filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a hyssop, and put it into his mouth. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. All right. Glory be to God. Now, let's go to verse 31. Excuse me. I apologize. All right. Verse 31 says, therefore, because it was the preparation day, the bodies should remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day. The Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs on the first and the other end of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was already dead. They did not break his legs, but one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear. And immediately blood and water came out, and he who had seen and had testified, and his testimony is true, and he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you might believe. For these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, not one of his bones shall be broken. And again another scripture says they shall look on him whom they pierced. Hallelujah. All right, in verse 38, and after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus, and Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it with in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. All right, so we're going to stop there for today, and then we'll come back next week and do 30 and 31. Perhaps Pastor Godfrey will be with us next week. We're certainly looking forward to hearing from him again. And we just want you to know, folks, that we're here to serve you. We're here to pray for you. We're here to encourage you, to edify you, to uplift you, to exhort you, and to help you understand the value in the Word of God. There is nothing that is more important than the Word of God. And so a lot of people want to talk about, you know, their own doctrines, their own thoughts and processes and all this kind of stuff.
But there's only one Bible, you know, and the Bible says clearly that there's only one God, one faith, one baptism, one hope of our calling, and that's in Jesus. The Bible says that many are called and few are chosen, and basically that's because few choose to accept the call. But there's only one way, and that's Jesus' way, and that's what we're trying to help you here, so that you can get into a position to be ready when the second coming comes. But not only that, we want you to be effective here on earth now. You know, in Matthew chapter 6, it says that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so that's what we want to do. We want to bring the kingdom of heaven right down here to this earth right now and start living like that now. And things will go much better for us. And so that's where we're headed in the in 2 weeks. We'll start talking about the kingdom of God and how we can make that come to fruition here on this earth. I think you'll get excited about it. I think you'll enjoy it. And I know that I am certainly willing and ready to look forward to teaching that. Now, if you are, I want to get one more commercial here, if you will. If you are contemplating getting a degree in theology, okay, I'd like you to consider Life Christian University. They're based out of Tampa, Florida, but we have an extension campus at Breakout Ministries International up here in Ashland. And so we teach a complete array of courses that can prepare you for your associates, for your certificate, for your bachelor's, for your master's, for your doctorate, for your PhD, all of those educational course lines are available. And so if you'd like to check us out, you can go to the LCU website, which I think is just type in your web browser, Life Christian University, Tampa, Florida, and you'll see their website. Or you can call me at 804-909-7339, or you can call our church at 804-798, I forget what the number is now, 1197, I think is what it is. But just give me a call, 804-909-7339, and we can get you the course descriptions, all of the entry requirements, et cetera, et cetera. These classes are accredited, so that if you wanted to transfer, you know, to another university, then you could certainly do that. Or we will also accept your transfer credits from another university. So it's an awesome opportunity. Classes are on Saturday from 9 to 12. Classes only go 4 weeks. So you deal with one subject for 4 weeks, and then you go to another one. You do that 9 times throughout the year. And in a couple of years, you can have a degree, which is pretty exciting. Again, it's not about the degree. Of course, it's about, you know, how it prepares you for, you know, for doing the work of the ministry or doing what God has called you to do. And so we encourage you to do that. Give us a call at 804-909-7339 regarding Life Christian University. And then next week, I think we're going to have a little conversation about Andrew Womack and his school, which is online. So education is the key. The Bible says my people die for lack of knowledge, and they have not because they ask not. When they ask amiss. And so we're praying that, that you'll get excited about that and make yourself available to those classes. They're absolutely incredible. I love teaching up there. My wife is teaching up there now, which is absolutely amazing. And we're excited about what God is going to do. In fact, Saturday we start 4-week study on the book of John. So this thing here has taken months. So there's no way that we can go into quite as much detail in, you know, 12 hours. Let's see, 3, 6, 9, 10, 11. Yeah, about 11 hours. There's no way we can go into much detail as I've done here on this show. But, you know, it's one of the courses that we teach. I love teaching it because I love John. And I think it's going to be exciting to see how that works out. So you can make yourself available for that. Also, Linda is hosting a End Times Bible study here at the house, which is 5505 Raleigh Road, Henrico, Virginia, 23231, on Friday night with Miss Ellie Schultz. I don't know how many of you ever know her. She used to teach at Faith Landmarks Ministries in Richmond.
But this lady has a wealth of information when it comes to the end times. And she's been teaching this for like 50 years. And so the knowledge and the documentation that she presents is absolutely incredible. And it's not a flaky teaching like a lot of this stuff that's going on out there. It's all biblically based. It's solid. And I think you'll enjoy that. So that's every Friday night here at 7 o'clock. At the house, which is 5505 Raleigh Road, Henrico, Virginia, 23231. If you need directions or want to make reservations or whatever, give me a call, 804-909-7339, and we'll be happy to set you up. It only lasts for about an hour, hour and a half at the most, so it's not obtrusive. It doesn't take very long, but I'm telling you one thing. You need to know what's coming. You need to know what's around the corner so that when it happens, then you're going to be prepared to deal with it. If you're not, then you're going to start listening to all kinds of foolishness, and there's a whole lot of that stuff going on now, and we don't want you to do that. That's another opportunity that you have to avail yourself of some tremendous, tremendous teaching. This lady is just powerful. She's a little small lady, but she is absolutely powerful. I remember the first time I saw her in I think it was Old Testament Survey at Faith Landmarks when I was going to Bible college there. Good grief. This lady, how's she gonna do anything? But I'll tell you one thing. She knocked it right out of the ballpark. Lady knows her stuff. So that's on the end times. If you want to know what's going to happen and what's going on according to what the Word says, now you can listen to a whole lot of other people who have their own opinions about what's going to happen. But if you want to know what the Word says about it, then you need to come and share with us on Friday night and let her just be a tremendous blessing to you. Amen. All right. Well, I think we're just about out of time. We've got a few more minutes before we sign off for today. I hope you have enjoyed this study. It's been a little different, a little more in detail in some areas than others. But you know what? We just pray that the Holy Spirit takes this and infuses it into your body so that you can understand and be blessed by the reading of the Word and reading and studying of the Word of God. Now, you know, if you're not willing to study, then the Bible is not going to become real to you. And I'm talking about something that is absolutely real. There is nothing more real than the Word of God. And so when you have the Holy Spirit, which you should have if you're saved, now if you're not saved, we can help you get saved. But if you are saved, then with the knowledge of the Holy Spirit, there should be nothing that you come up against that you can't overcome and conquer, because the Holy Spirit is our comforter. And he leads us and guides us into all truth and shows us things to come. So glory be to God. It's just absolutely amazing at what God is doing in this earth right now. Hallelujah. All right. We want to, again, make you aware of our website. Our website is www.dmcministries.net. We have our newsletter, The Progressive Walk, which is out there. We were unable to do an issue in December, and I have not uploaded January's to the website yet, but you can get that one of three ways. We can either snail mail it to you, so you'll need to give me a call with your address at 804-909-7339. We can email it to you, or you can view it on the website. The Progressive Walk is a publication we've been doing now for 9 years, and it is absolutely amazing. Linda has her article, Linda's Tips, and she gives you some tips on basic Christian living. And it's just absolutely wonderful. So we encourage you to avail yourself to that resource. Also, if you check out our website on the books and CDs and DVDs, we have my new book is out there. It's called DWJD, Do What Jesus Did. You'll either love it or you'll hate it, one of the two. but it's available for you to order either from our website or from bookpatch.com. Also have a couple of other books out there that are available. Utterances from the Throne Room and Exploits Jesus Rides in an Ambulance. Several messages out there by CD that you can order. And then also we have our podcast out there. We're in the process of getting this whole series of John set up on there as one big podcast, or probably elements of a podcast, and so that you can make yourself available for that as well. Our goal here is to help you be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want to make the Word of God real for you. There's no sense in playing church and faking church. That statement of fake it till you make it is a lie. We want you to faith it until you make it, and we want to help you with that. But you got to let us know what's going on, how we can help you. And you can do that by emailing us at dmc@dmcministries.net, or you can give us a call at 804-909-7339. Amen. So we want to, again, thank you for joining with us. Let's pray real quick. Father, we want to thank you, Lord, again, for the opportunity to gather in your presence. We thank you, Lord, that your word will go out and accomplish that which is meant to accomplish and will not return unto you void. Father, we love you. We praise you. We worship you. Father, right now, I just want to say a special prayer for healing for anybody out there right now that's feeling symptoms of sickness or disease. We just come against that. We bind it. We rebuke its power. We break that in Jesus' name. And Father, we want to come against every sickness or infirmity coming next to these people. And we thank you, Father, that you bless them, guide them, and protect them, and keep them safe in everything that they do. Father, we pray for the children of this world, Father. We pray for them because they're coming up in tumultuous times. And the Father, that they will get the influence, the positive Christian influence that they need to become productive citizens of the world, and not radicals and Islamists and all that kind of foolishness that's going on. So, Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, that you loved us first, because we couldn't love you if you didn't love us. And we thank you, Father, that you you promised in your word that you'd never leave us nor forsake us, but that you would guide us and protect us. You said that all things work together for good for those who are called according to your purpose and who love the Lord. So, Father, we love you. We praise you. You said that wherever two or more are gathered, you were there. So, Father, we just believe in right now that you're here with us and that you're never going to leave us nor forsake us. So until the next time that we get together, which will be next Tuesday at 10 o'clock, Father, I just send angels of safety and protection to be around these folks in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, that no weapon formed against them can prosper. And what the enemy plans for their destruction, Lord, you have already turned around for their benefit. And we just give you all the honor, the glory, and the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, don't forget, our website is www.dmcministries.net. Our telephone number is 804-909-7339. And our email is dmc@dmcministries.net. So please contact us and let us know what we can do for you. We want to help you. We want to be a blessing to you. And we really do truly appreciate everything that you've done for us and continue to do. And we look forward to serving you every day in the future. So until next week, be blessed and let the Spirit reign.